Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Okay, Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Hey, listen, our normal podcast, Good Morning Liberty, which we do every day of the week when we want to. On Fridays, we do an episode called Dumb Bleep of the Week, where we have the live group vote on what the dumbest thing was that was said that week. And there's a lot of it, okay? There's a lot of dumb things that are said. Here's a few of those things. Dumb bleep number one is going to be called Bidenomics. It's not all going to be Joe Biden talking about these things, but we have three different little submissions for the version of economics that our president and the administration are teaching our children these days.
And they're so proud of.
It's called Basic Bidenomics, okay? Here's one that got a nice community note, Charlie.
Right now, this is from the POTUS account, by the way, real wages for the average American worker is higher than it was before the pandemic, with lower wage workers seeing the largest gains. That's Bidenomics.
So he is correct that lower wage workers have seen the largest gains. In fact, I will say that I think low wage workers might have beat out inflation potentially. But when you look at real wages as a category, community notes got it right.
Mm-hmm.
They say
this tweet's claim about real wages contains a factual error. On March 15th, 2020, when the COVID lockdowns began, real wages adjusted for inflation, so that's AFI, adjusted for inflation, were $11.15. As of July 16th, real wages adjusted for inflation are $11.05.
Mm.
He lost 10 cents. He lost a dime.
You lost money over this time, folks. There's no way getting around it, even if Joseph R. Biden says it. But who cares about the truth? You know?
It's like you talk to everyday people, and you like go to the grocery store, and you realize, like, yeah, I don't make as much money as I used to. But you can just tweet stuff like this. Everything's fine.
If you say it enough times, it will become truth in the mind of some people, like this next person. You let us right into it, mm-hmm. Charlie. We already talked about Sandra earlier in the week, but it's something that must go in Dumb Bleep of the Week. I was talking about how we've had inflation 16-something percent since Biden took office. It was 3% year over year was the most recent number that was released. Sandra says inflation is down and expected to continue to decrease. Get your facts straight. I said prices still increased. Those are the facts. And she said prices are down. Across the board, prices are down. Mm. That's what lower inflation means. Did you comprehend that with your snarky arse? Now, was I even snarky?
What board is she looking at? I don't know.
What? Yeah, what's her board? Maybe her board's different from ours.
Yeah, across what board?
I don't know.
No.
Was I even snarky?
You're talking about charcuterie boards here?
You're telling me I can't even say that? She's now here's the this is the state of the world, and this is the state of the relationships with a lot of women these days. Let me tell you what. The first thing she said was that it was down and expected to continue. Get your facts straight. And I said, prices still increase. Those are the facts. And she called me snarky.
Mm.
But I responded to the way that she responded to me. Man. A lot of you guys out there know what I'm talking about right now. Let me tell you what, man. I don't have that problem. Some people do.
All right, Hakeem Jeffries up with the next one. This is all still part of Bidenomics. The Biden economy has produced record job creation, declining inflation, and increased wages. Extreme MAGA Republican haters are having a meltdown. God, I don't even want to refute this stuff anymore.
I'm tired, Nate.
Listen, you know, you read this stuff and you're just like, and look at all the people that look at this and like it, and they bookmark it, and they retweet it,
mm-hmm.
and without even digging into it whatsoever, they just take everything that these people say, which is why they say it. Mm-hmm. That's why they say it. The people, they just take what they say, and they're like, well, yeah, that's about right.
Now, we've talked about the job creation thing plenty of times. Right, so we don't even have to address that, I guess. The Biden economy has produced declining inflation. How about that one? That's kind of a new one. The Biden economy has produced declining inflation. How did the deflation, how did the inflation decline? It declined from a heavily inclined number that the Biden economy also produced. And so to say that you produced declining inflation, the inflation first needed to go up to 9.1%.
Putting those two words together.
Declining inflation. A declining incline in prices has happened. Okay, that's dumb bleep number one. We're just going to call it Bidenomics there. People like
it's like when you decline your increase in altitude, you know, in an airplane. Mm-hmm. You just, that's what you do.
You, exactly. Number two, this will be a really quick one as well. We talked about this for, no, I talked about it on the radio show earlier in the week, but Ilhan Omar had posted that the Earth just broke the record for the hottest day in 120,000 years. In fact, we broke it on three separate days. National climate emergency now. She wants to declare a climate emergency. All right. 120,000 years. If that were even the case, which it's not, that still wouldn't tell you a lot. That would mean how many times could it have been hotter than that? How many times does 120,000 go into 4.5
billion?
Billion? Can someone give me a quick number crunch on that on their calculator? Let me know. I'm not going to attempt to even do that right now. 4.5 billion divided by 120,000. Someone let me know if you have time. That would be great in the live group. Okay. Here's the problem. Community Notes addressed this and said, it is not possible to have accurately measured the daily temperature dating back 120,000 years. So this tweet should not be presented as fact. NASA climate scientists recognize 1880 as the start of modern climate records.
They cite their source here.
And the source is climate.nasa.gov/a bunch of other stuff. Aaron Reed, this dude is just ridiculous. Well, depends on if you ask him. Aaron Reed says, LOL, this site now adds notes with climate denialism. God, this place has fallen. Climate denialism is citing NASA, who says that accurate temperature reading started in 1880.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can't tell you to the degree or to the 0.1 degree what the exact temperature on Earth was 120,000 years ago. And that is climate denialism.
These just do it for themselves. I'm not sure what I could say to make it any better, and this, I probably can't.
No one gave me a number crunch on this yet, but I feel like that's one I'm not going to attempt to do in my head, so let me just try to do this.
Climate denialism coming from
36,000 from Big Gus. So here's the thing: you got to. They also do this with a once in a thousand year storm has happened. Okay, in this case, they said 120,000 years. Let's say we hit that temperature every 120,000 years. Well, in Earth's history, that could mean that we hit it like 30,000 times. All right, that's a lot of times still, and I'm going off of that number right now. If that's not the case, I'm trying it again right now just to double check the math on that.
But just so you all are aware, these people...
It's 37,500.
These people have no...
$4.5 billion.
They have no concept of actually checking sources. They just see something that upsets them, and they react immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we know that climate.nasa.gov is... That's all full of climate deniers.
You say it NASA, huh?
I like NASA.
Technically,
like NAS.
Just so you know, as far as the proper reading, that would be correct. Because
is it?
In most languages, you would pronounce a letter the same way all the time. In this case, we say NASA. Well, we
like
don't say
NASCAR.
We don't say NASA. You know, we say NASA, in which case you would say NASA. Because you pronounce the A the same way both times.
That.
Anyway, that's dumb bleep number two. Just in case you guys are wondering how my singer's diction courses played out back in college.
Oh, so you are using your degree.
I do use it.
Or not degree.
I use it to
classes.
Read. I literally use that to read things on the podcast because all we had to learn was how to read other languages. Mm. You don't learn the words. You learn how to read other languages. You think this doesn't play into dumb bleep number three? Dumb bleep number three. You're wondering how can people be so dumb when it comes to stats and math and economics and all that? Well,
biology.
Number three. Progressives' war on teaching math conquers California. That's right, in California. You remember us talking about this crazy woke math concept that people were throwing out there?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it. They voted on it, and they're doing it.
Hmm.
All right? There's an article in the show notes associated with this. I don't know if you have that pulled up right now. As progressives, this is a little bit more of an opinionated article from the New York Post. As progressives want to do everywhere, California is destroying math education in the name of equity. The state's new math framework for public schools ditches traditional instruction to emphasize self-identity and collaboration in lieu of actual math skills. It aims to keep all students in the same math courses until 10th grade, no longer grouping students by skills, so the kids who can learn more get more advanced instruction they need. The result would be far fewer kids able to take advanced classes and more, quote, slow children denied the chance to gain basic skills. I actually went into the curriculum, which is a ton of stuff, and I found a couple sections that looked interesting to me, and I pulled one of them out. They have these five components in their math teaching. Component number three is teaching towards social justice. And so that's component number three. They say mathematics is a tool that could be used to both understand and impact the world, but too often students believe math is not for them. Research shows that social and cultural contexts play a role in a learner's sense of belonging in the mathematics classrooms. Additionally, learning environments enable or hinder whether and how students see themselves as doers of math, who believe that math has a role in their lives. Both math educators and math education researchers argue that teaching towards social justice can play an important role in shifting students' perspectives. This framework discusses teaching towards social justice in two parts. First, it involves creating opportunities for students who see themselves as well as people from all backgrounds as capable and successful. Second, it urges educators to empower learners with tools to examine inequities and address important issues in their lives and communities through mathematics. And so a good example of this, a made-up example right now, but just something along the lines. You know that question, like a train is traveling from wherever to Paris,
mm-hmm.
and it's got to go this many miles, and it's going this fast. Well, instead, they would say, Jane makes 79 cents on the dollar for what Jack makes. And Jack makes $100,000 a year. How much does Jane make? You know,
yeah.
It'll say something like that. Or it'll say in the inner city, stores often place a 25% racist upcharge on their items. And in the suburbs, a tube of beard oil will cost X amount. How much would it cost for minorities in the inner city?
Mm. Which is so important.
It is. It's very important stuff. And so what you do is you not only teach math, you also teach people what they call social justice. You're actually indoctrinating them while teaching them math by presenting these facts of the world to them mm-hmm. while you're doing it. So, you know, if you're still in California, I kind of feel like that's your fault at this point. And I have sympathy for your children. All right. I have less and less for you.
It's time to get out.
I know it's tough to move.
It is.
It is really tough to move. You got to have a lot of money. You got to have a job lined up. But if you can afford to live in California, you can essentially afford to live anywhere else. Okay. So it's not that hard. The hardest thing is going to be finding an available U-Haul truck.
And the Live Group is calling those that live in California out right now. Looking at all you.
All right.
You're part of the problem. All right. This is from Lawrence Tribe.
I guess you can read either one.
Tribe Law. Well, I'll read the first one. Michael Beschloss tweeted, entirely possible that a 2024 third-party candidate could, intentionally or not, tip this nation toward a fascist presidential autocracy.
Mm. So having more options than the two major party candidates.
Is Putin running for president of the United States?
essentially the same thing. Trump is running. Yeah.
Oh, so that is, yeah, that's big.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence Tribe quotes this and says, third-party candidates like RFK Jr., Cornel West, possibly Joe Manchin, are the biggest threat to our survival as the free people who govern ourselves.
The biggest threat.
Hmm.
Because, as you can tell, we all basically died while Trump was president the last time. We, you know, we didn't survive it. And, of course, we finally got everyone out of the imprisonment camps that he put everyone in, the internment camps and all that. No, he's already been the president before, okay? It wasn't as bad as what everyone said it was going to be. But this is the biggest threat to our survival.
But this is dangerous, because let's just put things in context. This is not a normal thing. This is not Bill Clinton versus George Herbert Walker Bush with Ross Perot playing spoiler. No, this is Donald Trump. He is a threat to national security. He has threatened our democracy. He caused an insurrection. He has weaponized government against his enemies. And so if you, John Huntsman, or Joe Lieberman, I love you, Joe Lieberman, but you've got to stop this, Joe. Joe, this is insane, and you cannot do anything that could possibly help Donald Trump.
The Copperhead's right. Unless Democrats win, democracy dies.
And one more from Tristan Snell.
All right. Hitler was elected with only 43.9% of the vote. He won because of multiple parties splintering the anti-Nazi vote. Yeah, there you have it.
And so that's what third, they've got one called the No Labels Party that is talking about. But you had that video, oh, I had pulled up that day, whatever day that was, Monday, I think. You had that video from The View about her talking about how, was it Lieberman?
Yeah, I think so.
That was talking about the No Labels Party. They've talked about Joe Manchin, and they've got the Forward Party.
By the way, this is no different on the right, by the way.
No.
They're claiming that Vivek and DeSantis and all the other people.
Well, say it about libertarians.
Yeah, libertarians, all the people who are running against Trump, you know, are just trying to split. And if they go independent for the general election, we're just handing the country over to Bidenomics again. Look, in a democracy, you can vote for whoever the hell you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can write a name in. You don't even have to vote for somebody that's on the ballot.
True.
You can write their name down. That there's a section there, even if it's electronic, you hit other and you like write their name.
Which is what I did in the last. No, I voted for Jorgensen.
I did.
I wrote in 2016.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. Did we write in the same person?
I wrote in Ron Paul.
Did you?
Yeah.
I wrote in Rand because I kind of felt like Ron was old. I don't know, but I get it.
Still sharper than the guys we got running the country now.
All right. This comes, Greg Price tweeted this out. Mr. Fume, I don't know how to read that name. Fume, he's very important in our democracy. And he's upset about people not liking the DOJ, FBI, IRS, stuff like that. And so this is number 5, and then we'll add a piece onto the end of this.
Think he got paid to say this?
Here's what, he's probably afraid for his life, so he has to say it. That's the case with a lot of these.
Here's what galls me. I don't like these attacks on the Department of Justice, the FBI, the IRS, as if they are somehow anti-U.S. agencies. Those agencies keep this democracy in check. It keeps them in float. They provide the checks and they provide the balances.
That's what the framers wrote in the Constitution.
Checks and balances.
Yeah, by agencies. Yep. That's right. They could never be used against political opponents or the folks from a certain political class. Those things could never be used for that, could they?
On an unrelated note, still in dumb bleep number 5, the House Judiciary GOP posted, and I saw, I think it was Michael Schellenberger that posted this out, one of those Twitter files guys. Testimony reveals that the FBI knew the Hunter Biden laptop was authentic, but when asked by a social media company about the laptop's authenticity, the FBI said no further comment. The rest is history. They didn't just say no further comment. If you look into the transcript here, so here's the story. The FBI received Hunter Biden's laptop a full 10 months before the story broke in the New York Post. And they knew that it was real, that it was legit. And then after that, they warned the social media companies that there could be a hack and dump leak prior to the election. hack and dump. Well, that kind of sounds like something hack. That kind of sounds like something that could come from a device of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
So they warned them in the summer before the election. And then when the story broke, the social media companies asked them if it was real before censoring it. Not only did they say no further comment, first the person on the phone call said, yes, it's real. And then before that sentence was finished, someone else broke over the top of her and said, no further comment.
And mansplained?
Mansplained over the top, said no further comment. All right, so we'll, you know, go back to the previous statements from Fume. And is the DOJ protecting our democracy when they purposefully try to hide information that could be important to the electorate before the election in favor of one political party?
I mean, these are American institutions, Nate. Like, how could they be against us?
Yeah, interesting. Interesting idea. Okay.
This is what makes me so infuriated, by the way. This is why a lot of times I come on the show and I can't think of anything else to say. And that's because it's such a delusion. Like, the lies are at such a point now where you're like, what's the point? I just want to be like, okay. I've reached a point in my life where I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you want to believe, go for it. Because it, like, I don't know. There's something about trying to refute these lies over and over and over and over again that just becomes so exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, it almost seems like you take down one lie and seven more pop in its place.
So I will tell you this in a private conversation between the two of us, Charlie, no one else listening right now, that you and I have to remember that we're talking to, we reach new people every day that maybe have not heard the things that we're saying or in the way that we are saying them. For instance, yesterday I tweeted something about the government taking 2 to 4 months of your labor. And someone responded with, wow, that's genius to talk about it in the amount of months that it takes you to work to pay the government. You know, never heard it like that before.
I'm
like,
saying that for 20 years.
Really? People like, I didn't come up with that. People have been saying that for years. Well, that person had never seen that before. And their life might be different now.
Look at
afterwards,
Nate trying
thinking
to
about it.
Just spread a little hope.
Yeah. So there
pessimistic
are
Nate dipping into his optimism. What a beautiful thing.
Why does that say this video file could not be played?
All of that manipulation that I've worked on you
trying
to be
positive
over the years,
yeah,
finally paying off. Because you knew I would get to a place so low in hell that your sprinkling of optimism might just get me to hold on just a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. It's my job now to hold you together. All right. I'm putting you on my shoulders, and thank God you've lost 70 pounds. You know? Coming up, we're going to be talking about this controversy stirred up by the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire with Nina Turner and the way that they talked about taxation. Liberty Tonight, Free Talk Live Network.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Spending cuts coming out of Congress are not big enough for some members.
Conservative House Republicans are advocating for spending cuts that go beyond the levels agreed upon in the debt ceiling bill brokered by Speaker Kevin McCarthy and the White House. One of those, Virginia Republican Bob Good.
We would go back to pre-COVID level spending for non-defense discretionary, and we're calling on Republicans to do that very thing.
The demands from the right may heighten the chances of a government shutdown, as Congress is required to pass several appropriations bills by September 30th.
Correspondent John Schaefer. Wall Street's closing higher as investors weigh the latest earnings reports Tuesday, stocks rose with the Dow Jones Industrial Average notching its 12th straight day of gains. UPS shares fell nearly 2% after the tentative deal avoiding a Teamsters union strike. Meanwhile, the Fed meeting on interest rates this week. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Okay, this is Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network with Nate and Charlie. Almost wrapped up for this evening, but I want to talk about this controversy between the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire and Nina Turner. So we're going to talk about the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. They have long been provocateurs extraordinaire when they are running their Twitter account. Sometimes I think they're great. Sometimes I think it's too much. This is one of the times I thought the tweet was actually hilarious. We'll talk about that, but I guess we need to figure out whether or not they should have tweeted it and whether or not it was, in fact, racist. Charlie, your initial reactions to this tweet, I think, were maybe a little bit different from mine. Well, I guess let's talk about it. If you're not just living online like we are all the time, let's talk. Have a very online conversation right now. Nina Turner, who you might know from Don't Believe of the Week. She's a regular. We spend a lot of time with Nina.
She tweets a lot of dumb things.
Yeah, she's got one of the dumber Twitter feeds that there are out there. And she tweeted, insulin should be free. Medicine should be free.
Just a real banger of a tweet there.
Yeah. Now,
you know, insightful.
She says those two things should be free. Now, of course, Charlie, are things free and can they be free?
No.
They cannot.
Like, literally nothing can.
No.
Maybe air? I don't know, like...
Yeah.
The air we breathe is free?
Now, she doesn't actually mean free, and she said that before. She means that they should be free at the point of sale. Not a sale, but at the POS.
The government should pay for it.
The government should pay for it, yes. And, Charles, in all of your wisdom, could you please tell me how the government gets its money?
Well, through the good works that they do. So they set up these donation websites.
We were just discussing, actually. we were trying to find your checkbook, and we were going to try and send them something.
So they're good-natured people that work for the government, and they set up these beautiful donation websites, and they have these donation centers. that you can go to, and you know, they put all their project on display of all the good they're going to do for you, and people just voluntarily give them money. That's how the government gets their money.
And if you don't want to, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You can trade with one another, create value in society. You can make money to live on in your life. And, you know, if you see the government's doing great things and you send them money, and if you don't, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
And so that is how you know that this analogy is so ridiculous. Because of those things being true. Libertarian Party in New Hampshire responds.
Real quick, just for those that don't get the sarcasm. That's not how the government operates at all. It's by force, and it's called taxes. And if you don't pay your taxes, then guys or gals now, days,
any of them,
come to your house because they'll fine you and stuff. And if you don't pay those fines and all your taxes, they'll come to your house and they'll take you away. And
they'll bring guns with them.
Yeah, they'll literally put you in cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Chattel-esque.
They will tie your hands together and prevent your freedom of movement.
Yeah, I don't know what you...
And then they'll put you in a cage.
They'll chaste you.
For however long they want to, they'll put you in a cage.
You know how you get out of taxes?
How's that?
Don't work.
There you go. Some people have it figured out. All right, so discussing the tweet, she says those things should be free. Libertarian Party of New Hampshire responds with, Nina Turner picking crops should be free. Now,
that's out there. I'll say that.
I will admit freely, it's borderline controversial. Okay. I thought personally that it was hilarious.
It is funny.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm disgusted by this repugnant and terrible. No, I thought it was hilarious.
That is funny.
And so if that makes you want to call me names or whatever, then that's fine. But I found the joke to be funny. And by the way, it was a joke. You see, Libertarian Party of New Hampshire does not actually think that Nina Turner picking crops should be free. They think...
Or that Nina Turner should be picking crops.
Or at all. No, I mean... Yeah. And so, libertarians believe taxation, a lot of them believe taxation is slavery. Taxation is theft. Okay, well, if it's slavery, then you would live out that idea that it is slavery. If you call it slavery and you don't actually believe it, then that's one thing. If you call it slavery and you actually believe it... Well, then that's another. And so looking at it from the point of view of someone who believes that taxation is slavery, and you say that Nina Turner says these things should be free, which means that people's tax dollars would go towards them forcefully, then she is, in fact, advocating for slavery.
Part-time slavery.
Part-time. Someone did a great job responding to this. I actually pointed it out. First off, this
said a lot.
Dylan Allman. It was a big tweet. Yeah. He said they don't need to fully enslave a small portion of the population anymore. They can just partially enslave the entire population. And so I thought that was a pretty good way of putting it.
Yep.
And so really a lot of this comes down to whether or not you believe taxation is slavery.
But what it really does is it highlights principled people versus non-principled people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the principle behind libertarianism is we don't want to force anybody to do anything against their will.
We don't hurt people or take their stuff.
Right. The non-principled people is they're okay with some people being in slavery as long as it's not them and as long as they benefit from it.
Yes.
So, but people can't think that far ahead in a principled stance because we're so easily offended and we can just yell racism rather than looking at maybe some things that we believe in and being like, okay, does this align with what I actually believe? Should doctors and nurses and pharmaceutical companies and researchers and all the people that work in the medical field, should they be forced to give up part of their time so that, or anybody else who's working, by the way, where taxes are taken from them, should they be forced to give up part of their time just so some people who have diabetes should be able to get their medicine for free?
The answer is no.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be forced to do that. And this is one of the issues I've had personally with the messaging problem, because there are a lot of the same people on the, what would you call it, the pragmatic libertarian, old guard libertarian side, that did say that this was a racist tweet and shouldn't have been done. I don't see this as a racist tweet at all. Libertarian Party of Georgia had a good one. This has been common. If 100% taxation of your income is slavery, at what percentage is it not? Is it zero? Is it 30? Is it 50? What's the number? Clearly, if they took all of the money, took all of the income, then we probably would consider that to be slavery. Of course, you could just opt out, I guess, and live on the street and die.
Also, you have to.
So, what number is it not?
Pay attention to what Nina Turner says here. And this, she responds to some of these things. And she says, this is racist. Go back. This is racist and anti-black, period. In no way is advocating for free insulin comparable to chattel slavery. Shameful and uneducated.
You see, that's what happens when you lose the right to talk about history in schools. The good people from LPNH have no idea.
Well, listen to what she's saying here. There's no way you can argue against her now. She's now set the line. You can't. Her response has nothing to do with the actual principle of the matter or having any type of discussion. She's drawn a line and saying, like, you can't discuss this because this is racist and anti-black, and it is shameful and uneducated.
Mm-hmm. And insubordinate.
So if you say anything beyond that, it's just an uneducated. You're just a deplorable. You're uneducated.
Yep.
You can't have this. You're not allowed in the room for this discussion. I mean, they're allowed to say that we're deplorable and uneducated and dumb, and they can dox us and protest in front of our houses and whatever they want to do, right?
Now it's racist to even mention that people protest.
The woke mob. Mm-hmm. And then all they have to clap back with is like, well, that's racist. Everything is racist. And then you no longer have a voice because the thought police will come out and say that that's racist. And you can't, and like, look, black people aren't the only people who pick crops, by the way.
No, they're not the only people that have been enslaved.
Exactly. Lots of people have been slaves, mm-hmm. and it's wrong on every level. There are currently 2 million children in sex slavery right now, being forced to have sex and perform sexual acts against their will.
I don't like that.
Yeah, and they're from all races, by the way.
Yeah.
Hispanic, black, white, Asian, it doesn't matter.
Now, I was never a sex slave, but I was a child. So does that mean that I need some kind of reparations for this?
You must.
Okay.
I mean, they're making hundreds of billions of dollars now.
Just checking.
So
you bring up a good point, though, that they use this racism term and then it's like it shuts you down. That's their way of shutting down the argument. And this is one of the reasons that I didn't like the way the Libertarian Party messaging went in 2020. And I talked to Josh Eckel about this, our friend Josh, and talked to him about this. And I told him that the messaging was the reason that I left the party in 2020. Because giving into, you know, people yell racism all the time and being like, okay, yeah, your feelings are valid. I understand. You're right. We're not going to use this word anymore.
Here's my thing.
I get it. And what you do is you allow them to use a word and take the moral high ground and shut down your argument. The issue is that, okay, people are upset about systemic racism, right?
Yeah.
And then so they're mad about that. And then when you coddle to that and you say, okay, yeah, I get it. And you could ask what they're talking about. It could just be disparate outcomes, you know, whether it be an income or wealth or education or whatever, and say, well, since we have 13% of the population, but we've only got 6% of the whatever. Well, that's discrimination and racism. Well, no, that's not true. And so I'm not just going to go along with this person's feeling of the world because they're mad and they don't know anything about statistics or economics. I'm not going to give in to that and tell them that they're right and I'm sorry and their feelings are valid. Their feelings aren't valid. It's true that they feel that way. I'm not saying that it's not true you feel that way, but it's not true.
To make it a more fair comparison, maybe they should have just said that Nina Turner can pick crops for free over the summer. Just a few months.
30% of the time.
25-30% of the time. The same way she pays taxes, right? Like, tweeting insulin should be free is just this easy feel-good tweet.
Yeah.
It's this virtuous pat yourself on the back. Like, look, I'm advocating for people who suffer from diabetes, this horrible disease, to have their medicine for free. Look how good I am.
It's not only that. Here's what she's actually saying. She's saying I should be allowed to forcefully take the fruits of your labor, whatever amount we vote on, by the way, and we're just going to change it from time to time. I'm going to send people with guns to your house, and I'm going to forcefully take money, and I'm going to use that to purchase a product for other people. And in doing so, by the way, I'm going to...
See, she's not saying that because she can't think that far ahead.
I know, but here is what the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire read her as saying, because it is what she was saying. In doing so, I'm going to destroy the insulin market, and I want to do this for all medicine, by the way, so I'm going to destroy the market for all medications. I'm going to make shortages. I'm going to make, or if we're going to subsidize it, the price is actually going to quadruple or 10x over time and be even tougher, which means I'll have to steal even more money from you over time and take even more of the value of your labor and create even more inflation. And I'm going to make the world a better place and actually cause a lot of people to die so I can tweet this thing. And that is what Nina Turner said. And so the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire responded to it. And that is why they said what they said. And so if you look at it that way, I don't think they went far enough. All right, I'm gonna send you all to our interview with Jeremy Kaufman, who's a member of the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. Now, Jeremy is or is not the person who tweeted this. They have a policy where they don't take credit for each tweet. They have a group of them that tweet, and it's kind of like a collective with their Twitter. So I asked him a bunch of questions. I was traveling when I talked to him, so you'll hear me cut in with some questions every once in a while. It's going to sound like crap because I was on my phone using AirPods. But anyway, I really just left a lot of Jeremy's answers in here because I thought the message and some of his rationale for the tweet were important. So let's hear from Jeremy.
This idea, it's trying to get, it's funny watching people go through this chain of logic. Many people went through it for the first time. Over the last couple of days, right? But if you say, you know, I want insulin to be free, I want healthcare to be free, that requires the labor of other people. Right? Even if that direct person is being compensated, even if the fireman is being compensated for his labor, that money is coming from someone else. And how can you produce that money or those resources without there being compulsion, without there being the gun in the room, the force in the room, right? That is what it's trying to get you to recognize. And that if you put enough steps, in between, you say, oh, well, we raised our hands about the force, so it's democracy or whatever, that no, that doesn't change the fundamental underlying reality, which is that people are being compelled.
Does it bother you to see even libertarians getting upset with this?
No. It doesn't, actually. It's not that surprising. I think it's a minority of them. And I agree with you completely about the race, people just folding to attacks of racism. And to be honest with you, while it's not the primary point of this, it is a benefit, I think, for these kinds of things to happen, to show that you can have spine and you don't have to fold to these kinds of things. Because you're giving your political opponents a super weapon. If they can cry racism or bigotry and you now have to just disprove it, I think that's ludicrous. You're going to really struggle to make any political ground if you're allowing your opponent to behave that way. So I think, you know, racist, sexist, bigoted, whatever. Like, was there something that's untrue here? Is it true or not that what Nina Turner is calling for is analogous to slavery? We're happy to have that conversation. If you're just going to say cry racism like a baby, then I can't talk to a baby, okay? You know, so because look, the libertarians need to get over it. There are all kinds of things that are true about the world that are just true. I'm not saying they're normatively good. They're just true. And if you're going to let lefties who just don't like these facts about the world cry racism when you point them out, it's going to be really hard to do anything. And so if we can help pull people in that direction and help them get over this, then great. That's another benefit. What's going to bother people? You're doing it anyway. And of course, implicit in this is that you can win without bothering people, right? and I think this is the last part where it's like, yeah, look, we're going to have to bother some people. You're not winning through polite persuasion. Our ideas that we're trying to convince people of are in many cases well outside the Overton window. And when people are confronted with ideas that are that alien to them, they frequently react emotionally because they have that's just what people do. And, you know, so our mission is not this idea that politics spreads from someone just introduces some new good idea, and then the masses are like, oh yeah, well clearly, like they're like rash, like clearly that's a good idea. Like we can just reason people into it. It's like, no, we're going to have to drag them kicking and screaming, a little bit. And the question is more, were there more intelligent, competent, principled people who you were able to attract? Is that quantity of people growing or shrinking, you know, when you do this kind of thing, right? And so if people want to make the case that that's shrinking, that we're not, but like, I think that the first base that you're going to build anything with, like almost the base that almost anything new and successful is built with, is it's going to be a smaller group of mostly men who are relatively independently minded and somewhat comfortable, with a little bit of risk. And I don't mean like high risk, like gambling, that kind of thing, but like you're look at any new movement, any new anything, a new company, a new thing, right? And so that's what you're doing, where the libertarian movement is trying to create this this ball of energy, this ball of momentum, this ball of activity, and it's trying to bring more people into it who want to be a part of it. And so did this behavior help us grow at the margins? I think the answer has got to be yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird to me that this topic is so off limits when I feel like I've been seeing people from the left talk about things like exploitation and wage slavery, and even with Trump coming into office, I mean, you get Holocaust, Hitler references, all sorts of things like that, where the analogy rarely seems to perfectly line up, where this is, you know, we're literally in a Holocaust for immigrants, or we really have wage slaves or anything like that. But it's okay to say those things if you're pushing the right idea, I guess. Isn't that weird?
It's complete hypocrisy, right? Yes. No one gets mad at the progressive who calls something wage slavery. No one. It's completely fake. It's this one-sided weapon. And that's why I really encourage anyone with a spine to get over the racism, bigotry, blah, 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 blah. Was it true or was it not? That's all. Was it true or was it not? Look, if you're, I guess if we're going to continue to use those words, then use them factually, which would be someone displaying specific animus against an individual because of their race or gender or group or whatever. Suggesting that you collectivize the provision of some of these services at the scale of millions of people, that they be collectivized across millions of people. But I really do actually think that that is a moral evil that is not saying we can, I don't know if we need to debate whether it's like literally as bad, but yes, we should react to it as abhorrently as we do slavery. Like that is the moral impulses that we would want to be instilling in a libertarian order. That suggesting that would be like suggesting that someone, we go and capture someone and have them pick crops for us. That those are actually comparably morally bad things to be claiming. And that's obviously a huge shift from where we are morally today. But that shift isn't going to happen if you don't say it. It's not going to happen if you believe it in your heart, but you never put it out there, right? Like, it's that whole argument about, you know, do you make the argument against slavery about how this is just an inefficient way of picking cotton, or do you just go out there and say that this is really evil what you're doing? And when you tell people that they're doing something evil, when almost all of them don't regard modern democracy and what it produces to be evil, then like, yeah, they're going to react negatively to that. There's no getting around it. And so what you actually need is a push-pull. You need both those people and the kind of people going around being like, no, they didn't mean that. They meant something else.
I totally agree with this, because you're talking on moral grounds, which is where what we try to do. I think something that people have messed up on is that even when we talk about free market capitalism, we'll say, well, it's the most efficient use of resources. It's the best thing for the most amount of people, as if slavery were more efficient, then it would be okay. It's not. We push it because it is the most moral option. And gosh darn it, if it isn't amazing, it's also the best option for the most amount of people. That's great.
Yeah, people, you know, well, the truth is people kind of flip between these two ethical systems, which we could kind of broadly consider being like more consequentialist or being more deontological. And like people just flip people. Most people aren't really coherently one. Even most libertarians aren't. So this idea that libertarians are, you know, I think libertarians do a better job sort of reconciling their philosophical, like where their systems might be in conflict. But even that, you know, you probe, you'll find plenty of flaws, you know, find plenty of places where, oh, you know, it's a little fuzzy. So, you know, I think you're right. Like, you're definitely right. There's definitely a contradiction there. There's no doubting that. I do think we're generally better off leading with the sort of more deontological one, the Nat type stuff, even though I'm a bit of a Nat, intellectually I'm a bit of a Nat skeptic, but I think it's a very good argument. It's like very simple to get for, mm-hmm. to get people to understand it, right? And so I think that's all very good, but I think if you have consequential stuff in the mix, like, hey, look, your free markets work. Not only are they more ethical, they also work. Like, they're, you know, that only adds to persuasion. So I guess as long as you're not saying that them working better is sufficient, but it is a positive. It is like positive evidence. It is, you know, and that's what I would, like, so, you know, there are people who are saying, like, to bring back to the Nina Turner one, right? So like the consequentialist response to the Nina Turner example, not that would be where you're saying, oh, you're right, Nina, but insulin is expensive due to intellectual property and the FDA, right? And all of these things are, completely true. But if you reply with something like that, it will get seen and liked by no one. You know, replying with the provocative thing also let the consequential argument get seen by more people. So if like, even if your concern is, well, I just want more people to know this truth about the fact that it is, government laws that prevent us from importing foreign insulin or its intellectual property or whatever. That argument's also getting out there. And more people are seeing that argument than would have seen that argument otherwise.
All right, thank you all so much for tuning in this evening. Remember, you can go to joingmail.com to be a part of the live group discussion when we're recording. You can go to BernieLies.com, and that'll bring up all of the links for our daily podcast, which is Good Morning Liberty. Until then, we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.